In honor of Halloween, we are going to bring you a little experimental fiction. This piece is from Texas independent producer Hans Anderson. He calls it a suspense story about his creepy pantry.
I bought the house from my parents when they moved to Florida. They were given the home by my grandparents, my mom's mom and dad. It had been in the family a long time. The pantry door squeaked. It was always a bit of a mystery because no amount of oil or grease would make it go away. Oh, maybe for an afternoon, but it would return by the night again. We tried everything. Crisco, axle grease, motor oil, hemp, vegetable, mineral oil, Brill cream, even. Always the same result. Before bedtime, help me was back. I say help me because that's what it sounded like. Help me. Help me. It sounded like a real voice, but far, far away. It squeaked when you opened it. It squeaked when you closed it. Help me. Help me. My parents lived with that squeak their whole lives. I remember it from as early as I have memories. My parents brought me home to that house after I was born. My family all knew it was hopeless to solve, but it became an on-again, off-again game. My mom and dad would each rush to best the other. They'd bet on it, even. Dad would do laundry for a week, or mom would mow the lawn for a month. Once, Dad took the hinges off and soaked them in Coca-Cola for a week, and then in motor oil for a week, and then put them back on. By the next morning, the squeak returned. My mom tried spraying the hinges every day with WD-40, right before she opened it, and right before she closed it. After two cans, she gave up. Then they'd forget all about the challenge for months or years. They started it back up when Dad discovered graphite powder or Mom saw an infomercial for CLM. Finally, they retired, moved to Florida, and sold the house to me. My wife Yvonne and I went after the problem with gusto. I knew better, but she was my new bride, and I wanted her to be happy. My parents and I had been calling the cupboard, help me, for years. Where's the tin foil? Someone would ask me. Help me. Where's the spare bottle of ketchup? Help me. I had gotten used to the squeak. It was part of the family. Yvonne said I had to do the laundry for the week if she found the solution first. We tried all the normal methods, oil, Crisco, grease. She thought petroleum jelly would work, and one time tried KY jelly. We asked at antique shops to see if they had similar hinges. We wanted to replace them, but we loved the way they looked. No one had ever seen such a design, long fingers of metal stretching around the door as if a bony hand were holding it, turning at the wrist. They'd offer to buy them from us if we wanted, though, and for a goodly sum. Eventually, we did. Yvonne tired of help me. It was creepy, she said, like a voice we will regret not helping. We bought modern hinges and rehung the old oak pantry door from them. Help me was back by supper. The next day, we ordered a new door. It was the weight of the door, my father assured me over a phone call from Florida. The weight of the door caused a squeak, so replace it. We measured the pantry entrance, and I had a woodcutter cut a new door out of cherry. It was a beautiful door, and Yvonne gasped when she saw it. The price we were paid for the antique hinges covered the cost of the new door, and we put it up, confident of finally solving the problem. My mother said we'd copped out, that the squeak was a challenge. I went to bed wondering if I'd missed the sound. I prayed to God that night to thank Him for making my life so easy that I could miss the sound of my pantry door squeaking. By morning, it was back. Help me. Yvonne began to get nervous. It was too weird, she said. It was only a squeak, I said. No, it's a cry for help, she said. I laughed and told her it was not a cry for help, but maybe you thinking it was a cry for help is a cry for help. She demanded we bring in a contractor to see if we could shore up the door frame. It was a heavy door moving the wood on the frame around it. Didn't work. The stairs above? No. The floor? The contractor tapped around and said, hey, it is the floor. He pulled up a couple of boards, and right in the center of the pantry was a hole. He shined his flashlight down and said, hey, there's another hole. I went and got my ladder because the contractor didn't have his with him. We shoved it down the hole, and we both climbed in, the contractor and me. Yvonne wouldn't go near it. She said she didn't want to know what was down there, in the help me hole. The first room, the contractor called it a chamber, was empty, circular, and made of stone. The walls were stone, the floor was stone, stone like a medieval dungeon, rough and blocky. There were no corners, and it reminded me of a medieval turret. Seeing one room was enough for me. I went up the ladder and called my dad, who said he knew nothing about it. Then he cut short our conversation and said he had a tea time to make. The contractor continued into the next hole, and it turns out into another. There were three chambers in all, the first of stone, the second of polished inlaid stone, and the third and lowest, wood. Big old chunks of timber, said the contractor, beams across the top, planks at the bottom, thick sanded and worn with use. He tried to dig up the floor of the third chamber, but couldn't find an easy way to pry up the boards and didn't want to damage the beautiful woodworking. In this third chamber, he said, there were scratches on the wall, scratches everywhere, scratches that formed words, but not words he'd seen before. He described it all to me over a Coke after he came out of the hole, but he had this slightly deranged look about him. When I invited him to go back down with a stronger light, he said he had to be going and walked out to his truck and drove away. He left behind his bucket of tools and never returned for them. After that day, help me was joined by knocking. It was faint at first. By the time I understood that I was hearing knocking, I realized it had been going on for a long time, but it had been so faint that it didn't break all the way into my conscious mind. The knocking grew louder, and we named it Knock Knock. We had Help Me and Knock Knock living with us. We made up jokes during the day, but at night we'd be frightened, sometimes thinking, what if it's not the furnace? At night, Knock Knock didn't seem much like a joke at all. The knocking pushed my curiosity over my fear. My wife thought we should pour a truckload of cement down the hole and be done, but I wanted to visit that third chamber. It took more courage than I had, so we invited a bunch of friends over for a party, and I went down. I wanted to have a house full of fun-loving guests, because it seemed like nothing bad happens to housefuls of people having fun. I found what the contractor had found, and something he had not. I found a book. I was in the third chamber, inspecting the writing on the wall. It was very quiet, 60 or 70 feet below my house. I couldn't hear the minor party going on overhead. I could hear my own breathing, and my headlamp hummed. I startled several times at the sound of my own feet shuffling on the floor. It was entrancing. Mostly the writing the contractor described were scratches, etches deep into the wood, and some shallower ones on top, trying to rub out the deep scars. The deeper scratches danced eerily to the right and left of me, the light of my headlamp casting shadows that moved when I moved. Sometimes the scratches came together in strange forms. None were English words, but they were beautifully spelled. I looked around for a utensil, something to scratch with, a stick, a bone, a chip of rock. I looked down, and at my feet I found a book. I was nearly standing on it. I had not missed it before. I'm not stupid. There was no book in there when I first arrived. I had dropped off the ladder and inspected the walls, ceiling, and floor. I didn't want to be surprised by something, a spider, a rat, or... It was when I yelled up to my wife and party guests that I found a book that the knocking resumed, and with vim. It came from just on the other side of the wall, right next to me. I stuffed the book into my waistband and frantically set to climb up the ladder to the second chamber. The knocking chased. When I got to the second chamber, the hollow rapping on wood turned to a vacant tapping on stone. I had just the one ladder. To get to the bottom, you'd drop the ladder down, then climb down, then drop it into the next hole and climb down into it. To get out, you would have to do it in reverse. And it took a long time. Tap, tap, tap. I almost dropped the ladder pulling it out of the third chamber, and it collapsed once as I climbed up into the first chamber. I fell hard and was momentarily pinned against the stone wall. The tapping was in my ear, and I could hear, "Help me," which I had no intention of doing. Finally, after several more missed starts, I made it to the top, pulled out the ladder hand over hand, and at an angle so as to get it out the pantry door but not to scratch the enamel on the refrigerator. I looked around for my friends to tell them what I found, but nobody was around. Glasses and bottles lay scattered like a bomb went off, and the driveway was empty save for two cars that seemed to have collided during the getaway. Their bumpers were stuck together, and their cars abandoned by their owners. Even Yvonne was gone. I was anxious to read the book I found, so I sat at the kitchen table and read the first page. I should have stopped there. The book was leather-bound, handwritten, and the paper was thick and rough. There were blotches of some sort of ink on some pages and smears on others. Half of the pages were empty, and only half of those were legible. I thought it might be worth some big money, so the Saturday morning after I finished it, I dropped it into a Ziploc freezer bag and drove down to an antique bookstore to ask them about it. I swear I set it on the passenger seat right next to me. But when I arrived at the store, it was gone. I searched everywhere, and finally just went home thinking that maybe I just dropped it on the driveway. When I got home, I searched high and low and finally discovered it on my wife's nightstand, where I'd left her an hour before, sleeping in after a long week. She wasn't there. I looked all over the house, and then in the hall, because I knew what that book said. I called out for her, but heard nothing in return. I dropped the ladder into the first chamber, crawled down, and looked into the second. Nothing. I was too scared to drop into the second or third chamber, so I started back up the ladder, time to call the police. That's when the phone rang. I was tense, and the sudden ringing startled me. I fell from the ladder and through to the second hole down into the second chamber. I don't remember picking it up, but I held the book in my hand and clutched it to my chest instead of grabbing for the ladder. The second chamber is about twice my height, with polished stone walls too slick and too far apart to climb. The ladder remained above in the first chamber. I could see the light from that chamber, the one with the ladder, just below the hole in the pantry. I hadn't had time to grab my headlamp during the desperate search for my wife. I have already read the book, and I know what it says about the second chamber. And the third chamber, right below me. I can't see into the third chamber. It is too dark. I am fearful of the sounds the book describes. I pray to hear the phone, the doorbell, of my wife returning home. I just want to hear a normal sound. The quiet is quite queer. Every few minutes, I call out, "Help me!" But my voice sounds distant and tiny, even to me. I rap on the stone, but it's hard to make a sound without a rock or stick. While I was sleeping, someone came and closed the pantry door and dimmed the pantry light. Now it's dark all over, above and below. I hope someone finds this book and reads it. I can't see in the dark. I hope the blood is legible. It's hard to write in blood.
That was a special bit of Halloween fiction from independent producer Hans Andersen on this Halloween day.